Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps. And we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Goldberg and Kimberly, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, the Lifeline's Counseling Service, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Also, SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, most of our regularly aired shows are up via podcast at most of the major podcasting sites. Normally, it's about 24 hours after the show wraps, or even a little shorter. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, it's up on castbox.net. And got a packed show, really packed show for you tonight. So you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we'll talk with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He will give us the latest updates on the pandemic's effects on their services. We'll also talk with Mr. Nathan Ewan from the law firm of Goldberg and Kimberly. He will get us up to speed on the latest legal issues facing our veterans in the world of the virus. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on who will guard the Guardians. Very timely, especially with some of the things that have rolled out over the last week. But first, it is always an honor to be joined by the mess lord himself, Mr. Panini Pete from Ed's Seafood Shed. Pete, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans and our military and our first responders.
Hey, good evening, Cal. Good evening, Tom. And hello, all you wonderful patriots and veterans out there.
Man, it's glad to have you on board, big guy. You guys opening any of your restaurants? Or are you still doing takeouts? Where are we at with all that?
And we're making a little progress. We're working our way up the hill, as I guess you Marines would say. We're getting up there. We're doing 50% capacity, full service, plus a lot of takeout and curbside at three of the properties. So Bonita Pete, Squid Ink, and Sunset are moving forward. Ed's, you know, we decided we're doing a little more gussying up over there, and we should be ready to go no later than midweek next week.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to seeing it. Understand you guys have got some sponges and painted the walls.
Oh, man, you know, we sponge painted it. What is it, 70s?
I figured I'd get a kick out of you about that.
Remember that when they used to have that sponge technique?
Oh, yeah,
like
man.
I bet you had your boudoir like that.
Yeah, paint with a sponge, baby, you know, all different colors.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I got to share a great story with you, though. You know, I'm real proud. You know, Best Lords, I did a show with Guy Fieri a few weeks ago. We did a takeout version of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and I filmed it in Sunset Point. You know, I have the crow's nest back there where we have our military room, and we filmed it there in the corner by the POW MIA table and whatnot, and I saw, you know, a woman saw that. I received a card in the mail today from a Gold Star mother, and she watched the episode and saw the flag and saw the coins, and she sent me this beautiful challenge coin and a great letter and a picture of her son who she lost in Afghanistan, a fine Marine, and it was just amazing, and it just reminds me of how blessed we all are to have the freedoms we do, and thank all of you veterans so much and all of our active military, and I'm just so grateful to be able to go out and cook for you guys.
Well, you've blessed the troops in so many different ways, Pete, by being able to work with the Mess Lords and doing all your overseas venues. But on the other hand, you do so many things for the veterans and first responders in this area. And even, you know, some of our fallen police officers and all, it's just been really unbelievable. And we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's near and dear to me. My father was, like I say, in the Marine Corps, and, you know, I had an uncle that served in Nam, and my father-in-law was in the Army, and my grandfather was a police officer for 40 years in Chicago, back in the gangster days.
There you go. Yeah, he could probably, if he'd have been still around, he could tell some tall tales.
Oh, my God, he did tell some tall tales. He could kick boot, but take names too, man. Okay.
Yeah, he probably took a lot of names and busted a lot of heads.
Yeah, but I tell you what, we're just glad, Tom, to be able to start opening back up, and we've getting great support. We need your support. Come on out and, you know, visit your restaurants. We're being safe, and we're following protocols and doing all we need to do to instill confidence in our crew and in our customers.
Well, that's what I was wondering is, are you going to have the back deck and the lower deck open as well?
Absolutely. I think, you know, everybody's really enjoying sitting outside and feeling even a little more safe. The weather's great. We've got a lot of patio space, you know, at Ed's and Sunset, Panini Pete's. So that's a big, big, big plus, I think, for us. And it's beautiful. I mean, we need to enjoy our surroundings.
You're going to have to get a big bell put over to Ed's so you can ring that bell at Sunset.
I was thinking a cannon or something. How about we?
Why not? Yeah, let's build.
How about we fire a cannon?
A big howitzer or something. Let's fire it off the lower deck, man.
We need
Boom.
A dang scuttlebutt cannon back there.
Yeah.
That we will just shoot off, and I'm sure the wildlife folks will just love us for that.
Oh yeah, they would probably love us for that because all the ducks and everything would be flying.
Oh,
Elvis wouldn't want to hang around over there anymore.
No, you're right. You better not.
What a blessing.
But we appreciate the support and everybody. And, you know, the food's as great as ever, and the cocktails are great as ever, and we're still serving. You know, if you want to get gumbo to go or something, a six-pack, you know, we're still able to do some curbside with bushwhackers and whatnot. So come on.
Now,
come
can you get that at the Squid Ink or what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have the gumbo there, too?
Oh, not the gumbo, no.
No,
no, no, no.
But you got the bushwhackers.
No, you got to go to Ed's for that. But it'll be coming next week.
All right. Well, we can hold our breath for another week.
No, you can eat something else at Squid for a week.
Yeah, well, I might have to slide down to the Squid. I was down there the other day, and I picked up, you know, some of those beignets and passed them around the neighborhood over here. Man, everybody wanted to know where you got them. You been to New Orleans? I said, no, I've been to New Orleans in Mobile. What you talking about? You know, the Squid Ink.
I was wondering what you were up to leaving with a sack of groceries like that. He had about three or four orders. I said, he's going out doing a little PR work.
Why not? Yeah, they wanted to know what was open. I said, hey, here's some of the food that is open.
He's going out to check the traps or something.
Yeah, well, as far as we'll go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I appreciate you guys. I don't want to, nobody, they don't want to listen something. To me too long. Hey, but thank you guys for everything, and I appreciate you, Vats, and I wanted to share that story with you from that Gold Star.
That is just awesome. Fabulous. That's just awesome, Pete.
Really reminds us of how serious it is, the work that you all do, and how much we need to appreciate those that have served.
All right, brother. We appreciate you and looking forward to seeing you at your restaurants and seeing the Big Ed's open here maybe the first of next week.
Yeah, baby. You're going to be excited.
All right. Okay.
Thanks,
thank you.
Cal. Thanks, Tom.
Yes, sir.
See y'all.
Now we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the show. It's heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also check us out on Facebook. A lot of good information there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SVN. And it is a privilege to be joined on the Scuttlebutt by Mr. Nathan Guin from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. Nathan, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt. Thank you for everything that you do for our veterans.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back. I hope y'all are staying safe and healthy and doing well.
Well, we're on the right side of the grass, Nathan.
There you go. I hear you.
But, man, I know you're right in the middle of all of this stuff that's going on with all of our VA system and our vets trying to get their, continue to try to apply for their VA and maybe get their VA benefits updated. But then we see everybody's laying off and all this stuff is happening. And I see the VA's able to go up, they're on a hiring spree in a time like this. What's going on?
Yeah, so VA is currently on a hiring spree, which is, you know, like you said, it's kind of against the trend right now. They currently have a $240 billion budget, which is allowing them really to make a lot of new hires and kind of, you know, most of it's going to be in the healthcare field, but they're really, you know, making it possible for them to go out and get the staff and people like that, the doctors and nurses that they need to try to help through all this.
Well, I would certainly hope so. They apply some of that to the health phase of it, because I know in our new clinic we have in the Mobile area, they're only partially staffed even there, even going into the new clinic. They have a lot of openings.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, I think that's something they're concerned about. You know, I guess with all this going on with the COVID-19 stuff, they've really started a program, you know, I think it's about a month or two ago, trying to be a little bit more aggressive. And so really the majority of their hires are going to be registered nurses or have been so far. Respiratory therapists, anesthesiologists, even things that you wouldn't really maybe think of at first glance, like housekeeping for, you know, hospitals and clinics, as well as supply specialists and different things like that. People who, you know, can keep up with the supply chain and make sure that everything is going where it needs to go and things like that. So, yeah, they hired 3,100 people between April 29th and March 29th and April 11th, excuse me. Which was like a 40% bump, and that included 980 registered nurses. And, you know, in the weeks following that, you know, up to now and, you know, all through April and hopefully, you know, all through May, they're trying to add 4,500 more jobs. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be some more jobs available for people coming up.
Well, that just seems, you know, I'm happy for it. But, you know, I would just hope that it speeds up some of our clinical work that we have and the time that we're into in the clinics and all. Another thing I see that they're doing, and they're doing a lot of whatever that word is that they use when they...
Telehealth,
where you don't have to go in. They're actually, you know, looking at you if you have the capabilities of using your computer. And if not, they're calling everybody, you know, let the doctor, or let the nurse talk to you first, and then they go to the doctor, and I guess the doctor's working off the nurse's notes.
Right, yeah, and I've seen reports and different things where I think over the past month or two, they've had, you know, increased, you know, tens of thousands of telemed appointments that they, you know, normally don't have. And so I think people are really taking advantage of it. It seems like it's something that's working. I've actually seen... you know, some medical records that have come in that are recent that, you know, since that time where they have notes from telemed appointments, and seems like everything's getting covered for people. So, yeah, I think that's a good option. And, you know, especially if it's not an emergency, it's, you know, better to be safe than sorry. So it's good that they have the opportunity and the ability to kind of provide that for the veterans and you know, hopefully reduce the risk for as many people as often as possible.
Yeah, and, you know, and I would think that we would be blessed by any and all of that. But now, what are they trying to do, and what are they saying that they're trying to improve? Do they have any word on that?
I mean, I think really what they're trying to do is just be able to respond to, you know, increase in cases and, you know, different things like that. Obviously, you know, with everything going on with coronavirus, there's, you know, those cases. And then, you know, I guess up until now, they've been dealing a little bit more with flu season. So I think there's just been kind of an increase in overall traffic, for lack of a better term, through clinics and hospitals. And so, yeah, I think they're just trying to make sure that they're prepared and staffed appropriately so that, you know, number one, they're able to take care of their patients, but also, you know, they have enough people staffed so that the doctors, nurses, people like that have time off and can take care of themselves.
That would be neat.
When they're not on.
Yeah, that would be neat. Well, all that being said, how are you guys at Gardberg and Kimberly? How are y'all still working, I'm sure?
Yeah, we're rocking away. So we've got, you know, a couple different things set up. We're starting to, we're implementing some curbside services. You know, we've got a drop-off right now at the back back door. You can bring in, you know, any paperwork and drop it in our little drop box back there at any time. You know, we're always available by phone. We have a few people in the office, and I think we're going to start, you know, the next couple of weeks trying to phase in a few more. We're also working on some different plans to see people in office when we need to. So things like sneeze guards and, you know, setting up the waiting room and things like that to where people are spaced appropriately, and, you know, ideally, hopefully, when waiting for appointments, just, you know, having them sit in their car and, you know, say, well, hey, what car are you in?
Right,
we'll come out
right,
and grab you, bring you in. And so, you know, trying to provide the best service we can, you know, as best we can while keeping people safe. So those are things that we're starting to do, you know, over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, give our office a call and, you know, see what's possible with who's in the office is kind of an ever-changing thing. So just give us a call, and we'll be able to get you the answers and make sure that any issue or questions or anything like that are taken care of, or any documents are received that, you know, need to be put into a file or sent to VA or anything like that. So we're still reviewing new clients, potential new clients. So if there's anyone out there who's, you know, doesn't really know what to do with their claim or has some questions about potential appeal or anything like that, you know, we're still here. We're taking new clients. And so, you know, everything is, you know, we've been pretty smooth. Everything's, you know, other than people being at home, things are pretty much the same as normal. So, you know, give us a call and we'll figure out the best way that we can serve you.
There you go. That's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about too, is I understand that the VA's received a lot of masks from South Korea. How did that work?
Yeah, so this is pretty cool, man. I really enjoyed the story. It actually happened yesterday is when the delivery happened. So, yeah, the at Andrews, they received a shipment of 500,000 N95 masks, which, I mean, everyone, I think, now is familiar with that type of mask because it's become so scarce and, you know, everyone knows about it now. So that's been something that's been really hard to find globally. And so, yeah, the South Korean government gifted 500,000 masks to VA specifically. So it's only for VA facilities. It's not for any other federal facilities or any other. It is specifically for our veterans. So and for the healthcare workers. So it'll go to only VA facilities, which is pretty pretty sweet deal.
Well, that's a neat deal that the South Koreans recognizing our veterans, and I would think all of the things and all of our guys that got wounded and lost their lives in South Korea during the Korean War. So it's neat to see that they still appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's what they actually said. It was, I think it's their prime minister. I forget if they have a prime minister or a president. I'm not exactly sure. But basically, you know, their leader was saying, you know, that was what it was for, is to honor the sacrifice that has been made or was made by, you know, American veterans during the Korean War, and basically just an effort to try to repay that where they could. So it's a pretty cool gesture. It was really, it's not something, you know, you need something good these days, some good news and some, yeah, some happy things. And so I think this is a pretty cool story.
I think so, too. I think it's great. Give us some phone numbers and websites on Guardbird-Kimberly.
Yeah, so give us a call anytime, 251-343-1111. We'll be able to get you to the right person and answer any questions you may have. And then if you're on the web, find us at guardberglaw.com. That's GARDBERGLAW.com. You can send us an email there. And get any other information and check out our blog there as well for different articles that the attorneys have written over the years. So, yeah, that's where you can find us. And like I said, we're working away. So anything y'all that the veterans may need or anything y'all need, give us a call. We're here to help, and we'll do it any way we can.
Appreciate it, Nathan Gwynn. It was good to have you on board here tonight, buddy.
Yes, sir. Good to talk to you, Tom. Thank
All
you,
right.
Cal. Y'all have a great night.
One. And you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Cal? Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on this Scuttlebutt Network radio program, A Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Tom Claxton with Cal Waters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 251-343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And check us out on Facebook. You can also follow Cal on Twitter at Cal_SBN. And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and the fine people over at Viva Medicare of Alabama, law firm of Guardberg and Kimberly, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline. Cal, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. We lost you there for a minute.
Okay. All right. Well, you know how it is with the internet. I'm socially distancing from my computer.
So. There you go. Okay.
But you never know how that virus can be transmitted.
I know. I think it's in our computer on the internet here.
But it's always great to speak with Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Hey, Bill, it's great to have you back to the Scuttlebutt. Thank you for everything you do for our veterans and our military.
Well, thank you, Cal. It is always a pleasure seeing you guys.
But I tell you, you're kind of like all of us in all businesses. Even we have to make different arrangements and all now for death. And how we handle funerals, and you can do this and you can't do that. And I know that even with all of our veterans organizations and all, we have all been shut down. We can't give our veterans a memorial service that they desire, that they desired and that they deserve. We can't give them, who's going to have it, the 21-gun salute. And it's just unbelievable where we're at with that. That being said, you're on the front lines of that. How is this incapacitated you guys? I know you're still doing, you're still putting people in the ground, but
well, Tom, it is, it's changed everything. I've done this all my life, and I've always provided whatever service a family asks me to do. I've always said, as long as it's not illegal or immoral, I'm going to do whatever a family asks me to do.
Right.
Today, it's changed because of this virus. We're tied to the rules and regulations, which just recently lifted a little. But for several weeks, we were limited to just having 10 people at a service.
Goodness.
And
yeah.
that's just been heartbreaking to tell a family of six children and spouses that, hey, only 10 can attend. And they just don't understand, especially when you see 500 people at Walmart.
Sure.
And then they come to a funeral and say, I'm sorry, we can only have 10 people.
25 in lines, to check out.
Right.
To Walmart and what have you. But that, all that being said, that's even changed the way that you have to hold a funeral. I understand that you're not even using pallbearers anymore.
That's true. We're using our own staff in our cemeteries to serve as pallbearers. We've tried to be innovative during this time. We installed cameras and everything so we can live stream the funeral services in our chapel.
Okay.
And that has helped tremendously where family members far away or those that go beyond the limit of 10 can always go to our website and watch it live as it's happening or go back later and watch it over and over if they wish.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Okay. When has the guidelines changed some now on how you're handling that? I believe you mentioned that there has been some changes. Is there anything that's beneficial for us?
Yes, the governor lifted some of the restrictions this past Monday, and so we've been reflective of that. We're still trying to help tamp down this terrible virus and still limiting the numbers in our building. Now, in our cemetery, we're asking them to social distance, wear mask even, but to spread out where the concentration of people aren't so great. So we're doing what we can to help tamp this down.
Have you had families that tried and kind of, go beyond the limit?
Well, yes, and you can't
handle that. How do you tell somebody they can't go to their own family,
and you can't blame them for wanting. I use that as an example of someone passes away and they had six children. All of them are married, and every one of them have three or four children each.
Yeah, you got 40 people there,
You have 40 immediate family, and then you say that only 10, and they look at you like, how can you do this? Well, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my career is to tell a family no.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we were hamstrung by the laws had.
Well, they put a cease and desist on you.
Yes.
Well, all that being said, now what are the guideline changes? Are we going to be able to get a few more people involved, or what happened there?
We'll be able to accommodate a few more at the visitations. We'll do a limited number. Come in, disinfect the area, let another limited number come, which is a step up from where we were.
A flow of visitors like we're accustomed to in the past period.
We're still a long ways away from seeing the large visitations where 100 people come in. That's kind of off the burner right now of what we're having to do today.
So what would you recommend for somebody that's going to have a funeral and they want to have a wake? For viewing, what are they able to do? Are they able to come in 10 or 15 people at one time?
Just a limited number, still limited number. Now, what we are offering is for a lot of families to have a celebration of life after this all clears up and blows away, which I'm hoping will be very, very soon. But we will provide for them another service where they can gather their friends and family to have a celebration of that person's life.
Yes, awesome.
So we'll be able to accommodate families that way, where they could still have that celebration.
Are you able to have any kind of military honors ceremonies for veterans now?
I anticipate that opening up a little more this upcoming week. In the last several weeks, several of the branches of service have not been able to accommodate us for any military honor ceremony. However, they have said that they would be more than happy to come and do another military honor or do a military honor ceremony after the fact when this opens up. So for a lot of families, that's going to mean a lot for them have that.
Yeah.
So then, and again, it can be coupled with another gathering.
Well, what are there any honors that could be rendered by the military now? I mean, could they present the flag or anything or what?
Well, again, as of this week, I have not had any to call upon. Now, last week I had several that they said we're not able to do any render any military honors, but again, they've offered to do it after the fact.
Okay.
Now, some of the volunteer groups I heard from via American Legion Post 250, they are back. And available to render military honors on a volunteer basis.
Okay.
So that's good news for us.
Yes, yes. Well, another thing, too, here we're trying to put together a deal for Memorial Day where we can have a 21-gun salute, and then we can have a flag raising, and we could also have a bell ringing for each veteran that has been lost and hasn't been able to receive the services. So we're going to do that for Mobile County.
That would be awesome.
On Memorial Day. I know I'm working with Pete Ream on that. We'll try to do it over at the cemetery on Virginia Street. So, man, it's a blessing to have had you in there and keep us up to date, keep our veterans and their families up to date on what we can do and what we can't do for losing some of our glorious vets that have given a lot of limbs and injuries and all, and some of the ones that did come back. And thank you for having been aboard, brother.
Well, it is my honor to be here.
All right, Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Homes. We'll be right back.
From the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
July the 26th, 1947. World War II was barely over and the Cold War was in full swing. President Harry S. Truman signs the National Security Act, which becomes one of the most important pieces of Cold War legislation. The act established much of the national security framework for the next 40-plus years of the Cold War, during which the United States and the Soviet Union, once allies in World War II, faced off as ideological enemies. As the magnitude of the Cold War increased, however, so too did the need for a more efficient and manageable foreign policy-making bureaucracy in the United States. The National Security Act was the solution. Among other things, the act created the Central Intelligence Agency from the ashes of the wartime Office of Strategic Services. It also established boundaries for the newly minted intelligence community, with the CIA in charge of intelligence gathering and covert operations on foreign soil, and the FBI, which was originally formed in 1908, tasked with domestic law enforcement. The CIA was to be our first guardian against those who would do us harm from abroad. This new community also included the intelligence divisions of each of the branches of the military, the oft-joked about military intelligence community. The CIA and FBI boast of many accomplishments, some openly and some that cannot be announced. They have had their share of failures as well, including the spectacular failure of the CIA and the disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961, in which Cuban refugees were unleashed against the communist regime of Fidel Castro. The mission was a disaster, with most of the attackers either killed or captured in a short time. In the wake of Watergate, the intelligence community came under scrutiny. Watergate shocked the American public and spurred many of its representatives in Congress to demand an investigation into the past activities of the FBI, CIA, and others. The result was the creation of two congressional committees in 1975, chaired by Frank Church, a Democrat from Idaho, in the Senate, and Otis Pike, a New York Democrat, in the House of Representatives. Their hearings exposed secret, arguably illegal, wiretapping, bugging, and harassment of American citizens, including Supreme Court justices, reporters, and government officials, all in the name of collecting intelligence about threats to national security. Does that sound familiar? The most notorious case, first exposed in the 1960s and fully documented by the Church Committee, was the wiretapping of Martin Luther King Jr. by the NSA and by the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover, who believed him to be part of a communist conspiracy. The committee's investigations included calling for testimony from the head of the CIA at the time, William Colby. The Church Committee eventually revealed so much sensitive information about U.S. covert operations that President Gerald Ford finally called Church and asked him, in the name of national security, to stop the release of sensitive information. In fact, the committees were largely political in nature and aimed at vilifying the Republican government left in tatters by Richard Nixon and capitalizing on the anti-establishment movement coming out of the Summer of Love, the shootings at Kent State, the Vietnam War, and the Woodstock. Notwithstanding Church's and Pike's partisanship and desire to grandstand, their committees did introduce checks upon the perceived adventurism of the CIA, NSA, and other agencies, although in hindsight, their efforts did much to neuter our intelligence gathering for years, with no lack of assistance from pacifist President Jimmy Carter. One interesting detail, the Church Committee's investigation also led to passage of Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, court in 1978. The FISA court was originally designed to guard executive branch surveillance programs from the public while ensuring the other branches of government could oversee activities. Of course, as we now know, the Obama administration weaponized the intelligence community in a way not seen since the heydays of the pantyhosed PI, J. Edgar Hoover. As we have learned since the election of 2016, the intelligence community under Obama, including the FBI and the NSA, were actively used to monitor political rivals, specifically Donald Trump, in an apparent effort to either undermine his campaign or sow the seeds of discord in order to delegitimize his presidency. Ironically, while William Casey pledged to cooperate fully with Congress during the Church and Pike Committee hearings, the current leaders at the FBI and the DOJ are apparently doing everything they can to obstruct the lawful, and I repeat, lawful, duty to conduct oversight on the organizations that they in fact created. These actions by those in power at these institutions are reprehensible and a slap in the face to the good men and women who work to protect our nation from those who would do us harm, both foreign and domestic. Their actions demand that we again ask the question that was originally posed by the Roman poet Juvenal, quis custodiet ipsos custodes, the Latin phrase, who will guard the guardians? The reality is that unless Congress is able to wrestle power back from the entrenched bureaucrats in the FBI, the DOJ, and others, we stand to lose our Constitution and our Republic. And it will be up to red-blooded patriots and veterans to take back what progressive politicians have taken. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Radio program, Voice of the Veterans, for the Veterans, and 106.5 FM, streaming live on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, of course, you know, Tom, a lot of the comments that you had there in the tirade really come to light with the revelations that we've had with the General Flynn case, among others, in terms of exactly what was going on in those intelligence communities. And I know there are efforts right now. In fact, I think there is a bill that they're trying to move through the Senate. in terms of some reforms for the FISA courts. And, you know, unfortunately, I think there's been a lot of pushback from some of the entrenched politicians when it comes to true reforms. I know I saw Senator Rand Paul on one of the talking head shows talking about the fact that he has proposed some amendments to that bill, which would remove anything having to do with an American citizen from the purview of the FISA court and actually put it back into one of our regular courts.
Right.
And he says it's entirely constitutional.
Well, the people don't realize that FISA? That's foreign intelligence,
yes.
Not, you know, that's supposed to protect us from that.
Well, yes. And that's what we got into. That was the, you know, when you look at those hearings, the Church and the Pike Committee hearings back in the 70s, and you look at some of the things that were being done by the intelligence communities at that time, a lot of it was that you had the, you know, some like the CIA and FBI, they were spying on Americans.
Right.
And that's not what they were, or at least the CIA was not constructed to do that. And I think what we're finding is that much of the intelligence community, what they did was they outsourced a lot of that they tried to bend the rules a little bit, play with it a little bit, and go to other foreign intelligence services to then have that feedback so that they could continue to do this. Here we are 40 years later, and suddenly we're kind of right back in the middle of everything. We're talking about, you know, if they can do this to political candidates, president elects, and 30 plus year veterans, honorable veterans of our military, just think what they could do to you and I.
Sure. I mean, you know, they could do that to a lieutenant general, a 3-star. Come on.
Right. And so that's, I think that's where we really need to take a look and think about it. Even if you want to pull the politics, if you don't like President Trump and his administration, but just think about the civil liberties that we are losing when this kind of stuff can happen. But, Tom, we've got Armed Forces Day coming up. So hopefully folks will remember that. I think next week we're going to try to have Lou Lortigue on to talk about what we can do for Memorial Day. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, The Voice of the Veterans. For the veterans, we thank you for joining us. Hopefully you will join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a 4-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hurrah!